Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR podcast. I am Race for the Prize. Let's look at the upcoming Richmond Xfinity race by breaking down last year's Richmond race. Later this week, I will also try to break down the Phoenix race because I believe that flat track is going to be a valuable point of reference as well. But for today, we look at Richmond. Please like, subscribe, share the videos. Also, if you would like, the package for April is up. Maybe you buy this week and April. You want to roll them together. If you haven't purchased already, send me an email, DM me, we'll figure something out. Hopefully you come on in, but if not, like, subscribe, and share. You can see the optimal lineup. It was the Chandler Smith show. Not a surprise. These are the tracks that he dominated in the ARCA series, the truck series, and now in the Xfinity series. He likes the short tracks. He's good everywhere, but especially good at the short tracks. No surprise. Take note, his crew chief, Bruce Schlicker. That will be the crew chief for Van Gisbergen this weekend. If you want to boost SVG up a little bit, the problem is, what price do we get on SVG? And it usually takes him a while to figure out the race. You really can only count on finishing position and hope that he figures the race out by the end, but something worth taking note of. Not surprising to see Josh Berry. Now, Berry doesn't really pass Smith for the lead. Berry gets the lead because of lap traffic, and that's going to be an issue. But whatever, we expect there to be one, two, three hogs. Lap traffic always plays out at the short tracks. Guys are going to pass for the lead. Berry, good, short track, late model racer. Not a surprise to see him pile up those points. Cole Custer gets there through place differential. Won this race back in, I believe, 2019. Not a surprise to see him up there. The surprises are Kaz Grala, Alex LeBay, and Chris Hacker. We're not going to break down every single optimal lineup in this video. We just want to get a good idea of last year's Richmond race. So, too long didn't read. When I'm looking at value picks this week, I'm looking at track history. And we'll see in a second when we break down this race completely, average running position lines up for the most part with finishing position. You're going to see guys get a little bit of a boost, average running position of 11th for Grala, but he finishes fourth because, you know, there's going to be top 10 drivers that just don't finish the race. In this case, it was Herbst, it was Jones, it was Daniel Hemric. So those are attrition points that he gets. And then just by pure racing and restarts and cautions at the end, you can always throw a couple more in there. Same with LeBay, 17 to 11, and then Chris Hacker, 18 to 14. Nothing extreme there. For the most part, the drivers score points. Don't just do it at the end, although that can happen. But for the most part at Richmond, they're going to be running there throughout the race. And if they're running there throughout the race, then more than likely they're familiar with this track, they're good at this track, and their team is good at this track. And that's why I say team. Now, I was thinking to myself, as I'm doing the research, before I dig in, I try to solve the problem on my own, something that possibly you can do in your research processes. Before you start looking up the stats, maybe come up with a hypothesis. My hypothesis was that it's possible that these same Hunt Toyotas are pretty good at Richmond. And I thought back, oh, that's right. John Hunter Nemechek got a Toyota Racing development ride at Richmond several years ago while he was running full-time in the truck series. And it's very likely that TRD gave a lot of notes, set up notes to Sam Hunt. And Sam Hunt still has those notes for Richmond. Sam Hunt still probably has that chassis. And it's very likely that they've put together a couple good performances. So then we test the hypothesis. Obviously, we got that third place finish from John Hunter Nemechek. The Derek Griffith race, I'm willing to dismiss. You got the fourth place by Kaz Grala. Now, the 28 by Connor Mosack might have you scratching your head. But he was involved in the Herbst-Jones incident, which hurts his finishing position. He was definitely a top 20 driver, which, although may not sound exciting, that's pretty good for a mid-pack team. When we're looking at the mid-pack, Sam Hunt Racing is right there towards the top on a given week, battling with the others, be it Jordan Anderson, be it Sieg, be it Auer Motorsports. And then this weekend, they were pretty good. And if not for that incident, it's possible that Mosack could have pushed to a 15th, but he definitely was a top 20 car. Now, I don't want to sell you on the idea that, oh, Sam Hunt has hot rods. No, but when we're looking at the mid-pack this week at Richmond, you may boost them up a little bit. We need people to be running good all day if they're going to finish this race in a solid position. Alex LeBay. So what's the hypothesis? You think back to his Pinty series days. A lot of road courses in Canada, but they do run ovals, and those ovals tend to be short tracks. So you think, well, Richmond should be a place that suits him where he should be successful. Now we check the data and our hypothesis. 2018, 16th. 2018, 21st. 2020, 23rd. But then in the next race, he finishes 12th on the next day. So remember, that was a back-to-back day back in that weird COVID era. And he clearly improved and learned a lot. 19th, 19th. And then His highlight was last season at 11. Now, that's not to say I'm jamming in LeBay, but what the point I'm making is we're looking for drivers that know what they're doing at Richmond in the value range. Not necessarily going for crazies like Chris Hacker. But yet, we have Chris Hacker getting in there. Prayers for Hacker. I haven't heard how he is doing at the moment. Hopefully, he is doing well. But here's what you notice. Sieg had some pretty good cars. Ryan finished the seventh. You may be a little scared by his average running position of 21st, but as we break down the race in a second, you'll realize that he was better than the 21st place car. There's a reason why that number is suppressed. And then we even go down to Kyle, who finished the race in 20th. Not the greatest day, but again, when we're talking about being at the top of the mid-pack, Sieg was there. Sieg usually is behind Hunt. They're usually behind our Motorsports and Jordan Anderson. So this was a day that they were pretty competitive in the mid-pack, and really that's what we're asking. We want you to be competitive in the mid-pack. You can run towards the top 20 and then maybe get some attrition points at the end and work out. Now, there's no guarantee that Sieg is going to have hot rods again this week, but they look pretty good. Let's break down the race. Qualifying was rained out. Practice was rained out. So we get a little bit of a different starting grid. Chandler Smith, as a result, starts eighth. He makes movement forward in the top five throughout the run. That's exciting. That's what you like to see. You're seeing the same thing from Barry, slowly making it forward up into the competition caution. Smith is in first. Then we get pit cycling. A lot of these guys will take tires. Several of these drivers do not take tires, and that is a huge mistake. Several drivers stay out, and those two will be the JGR cars, John Hunter Nemechek and Sammy Smith. They run long, and it is an absolute disaster, as you can see on your screen. They cannot keep up with old tires against new tires, and it's just terrible. Now, on one hand, I like what Jeff Mendring has done at Richmond in the past. I like what Jeff Mendring did at Phoenix in the past. He won with Sammy Smith. He's won with Chandler Smith. And he will be with Sammy Smith again, or Chandler Smith again. But I don't like this strategy call. As far as setting up a car, I'm cool with it. It's always good to look at these crew chiefs. Anyway, long story short, these two are going to have to battle all day. Nemechek ends up getting the lucky dog at the end of the stage, and that allows him to be competitive in this race. Smith just misses out on the lucky dog. So at 32, lucky dog, 33, you missed it by one, and then that pretty much ruins Sammy Smith's day, and that's going to make Mendring's stats not look as great. Nemechek will recover in this. That's kind of the big story. Another thing I want to make note of is that when we got guys starting in the back with a competition caution, just for note, for all intent, for, you know, your research processes, it is very easy to climb if you're trying. A lot of these guys in the back, backpack, mid-pack, they know competition's caution's coming. They'll give up those spots and not fight. That really gave Alex LeBay an opportunity to show what he had. Probably helped Hacker climb a little bit as well. And so your average running position is not going to be as bad when you make an early climb. Now, as you get deeper into a race, or when people start racing, especially in the mid-pack, it's much easier, harder, I mean, to climb through the field. And I point that out because that's what happens to Ryan Sieg. You want to know, oh, well, Ryan Sieg's average running position wasn't very good. Well, that's because Sieg's going to get himself a penalty. Now, let's look at the second run. This is a very green race. There's not a lot of highlights that I need to go into. And in the end, we'll just skip to the end. If I look at finishing position, you're going to notice that for the most part, our finishing positions are going to line up with our average running positions. You can see here, Smith, top guy. Nemechek, well, he was only eighth in average running position. That's because of that stage one goofiness. Had it not been for them trying to stay out and go to a tire strategy, he would have been a top car. Barry finishes third. He was second in average running position. Grolla gets a little bit of a boost. Based on attrition, though, we can explain that. Custer, 5-5. Cree finishes sixth, seventh fastest car. Sieg gets a big boost here. My more detailed analysis gives him an average running position of 23rd. He finishes seventh, and that screams fluke. But the reason why is what I mentioned. It's easy to drive through the field often in a stage one, or especially when you got a competition caution where people are willing to let you get by. Sieg nabs himself a penalty at the beginning of stage two, restarts 36th. It's not as easy to climb at this point, especially when everyone's on the lead lap because we had a competition caution. Except for Sammy Smith. Sammy Smith, thanks. Found a way to not be on the lead lap. But all the other drivers are still on the lead lap. They are still competitive. And so his is much more of a yeoman's climb. He really has to work harder. And so in the end, his average running position isn't that great. And he also is not really pushing it too hard in this situation, saving his car and being methodical, knowing, like, I got to dig myself out of this hole. I'm not going to get myself out of it in stage two. It's going to take several stages. Got to believe in your race car. And that's what he does. Slowly, methodically up to 26th by lap 151. We go into stage three, and he climbs from 24th and climbs and climbs and climbs, gets a little bit of attrition boost, and gets to seventh. So again, that average running position of 20th, being the 23rd best driver, he was arguably a top 10 driver on this day, or a top 10 driving car. But a penalty in the middle of the race is definitely going to influence average running position. As I mentioned before, it was pretty much the Chandler Smith show in stage two, and in not stage one so much, but he was working his way there. No fault of his own. We didn't have qualifying. So if we look at the results at the end of stage two, now you're going to see, Josh Berry's in the lead. That's very true. I'm sorry, So we see that Riley Herbst actually has the lead on pit road. He'll lose the lead to Chandler Smith. Chandler Smith takes over, it's Chandler Smith's show, and then as we get deeper into the run, Chandler Smith catches lap traffic on lap 141. This allows Josh Berry to close and take the lead at the end. And so he wins the stage. And we've got Jones and Herbst having really good days. Thing worth noting with Jones, you might be a little surprised, and if you maybe want to downgrade him a little bit this week, and I don't mind it, that's because his crew chief was Jason Burdett, the former crew chief for Justin Allgaier. Justin Allgaier was great at Richmond in the past. Burdett clearly took those notes, gave them to Jones, and ran pretty well. When you give Jones the right car, the right track, he can produce. Unfortunately, Burdett's gone. He's over at Legacy Motor Club. So if you want to boost up Legacy this week, technically he's the crew chief for the 84. So I don't know how much you're going to put into that. Anyway, right here we see Smith, Custer, and there's Grala doing his thing. Nemechek has since climbed out of his hole. And Allgaier, no longer with Jason Burdett, just having a ho-hum day, but in the top 10. And then Creed and Hill, drivers that we like at intermediate track, drivers that we like at road courses, but still we haven't quite seen greatness out of them at these short tracks. We begin stage three. Brandon Jones is going to grab the lead on the restart, but it won't last long. Eventually, the better car will cycle forward, and Josh Berry cleanly passes him. All right, cool, awesome. We're just running a green flag race here in stage three. Nothing crazy. At some point, we got a pit. Allgaier, having that ho-hum day, just hanging in seventh, decides, I'm going to be the first to pit road. This is my chance at winning the race. He's aggressive. He takes a chance, and it blows up in his face. Because about 10 laps later, we get a caution. So now he is in 18th place, and he's going to need to pit again and throw on tires like everybody else. And when we restart on 228, he's in 18th. So his race is pretty much ruined if you're running the Allgaier equation. Again, Creed and Hill really not doing much. Kaz hanging in there with that Sam Hunt car that's pretty feisty. Custer just not quite has anything for the top four, which are Berry, Herbst, Jones, and Chandler Smith. And, oh, by the way, guess who enters the picture and takes the lead on pit road? It's John Hunter Nemechek. Nemechek takes the lead. And then we quickly have a wreck with Jones, Herbst, and then Connor Mosack is involved. So we got another caution. And we're going to restart again. Who do we have in this caution? I don't think it really matters. I think this is the guy in the back. But what happens with these series of cautions, you get a lot of wave arounds. We're getting wave arounds. We're getting a lot of guys back on the lead lap. That makes it hard to make your way through traffic. If everybody's on the lead lap, everybody's racing hard, that limits movement. And so again, we're going to see finishing positions line up with average running positions. And then we come down to the end of the race. That's pretty much the last of our highlights. Sammy Smith finally gets back on the lead lap with a lucky dog after battling all day. Restart. Chandler Smith takes the lead over Nemechek and then holds him off for the rest of the race. Could have been a John Hunter Nemechek day had they not stayed on tires. Josh Berry had a fast car. His pass, though, for the lead was due to lap traffic, but we expect that to happen. And I don't think Chandler Smith was that much better than Josh Berry, so I'm not going to disregard that performance, although it doesn't really matter. He's not in the race. Casbala, we've already talked about. Custer just has a ho-hum day. Well, I mean, he finishes fifth, but it's just not his race. Creed gets a little bit more, but again, we took out Herbst, we took out Jones, and has a decent restart at the end. Ryan C. finally works his way back to the front. Congratulations. Kligerman doing a typical day. Austin Hill with his typical day. Really surprised to see Derek Krause up here, but it was a colored car. And in the end, pretty green race. Trust your ride. And Krause isn't a nobody. Tons of truck experience, tons of ARCA experience. Did he live up to expectations coming out of ARCA or Canon West into the truck series? No, but we also have to remember McAnally was just getting their truck program underway. Took them several years to develop it, and unfortunately, Derek Krause was that guy doing the development. Their trucks are fast now, and then they showed him the door. Now, you could say that he was the one holding them back, or you could be a little salty and say, look, Krause did everything he could. This is interesting, though, if you want to go to the Chandler Smith, John Hunter Nemechek route, especially heading into this Richmond race, because if we look back to the last Phoenix race, you remember at the end, Chandler Smith, he turned John Hunter Nemechek. The reality is, not a lot of guys like John Hunter Nemechek. He has rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way. Just ask Cole Custer, who tackled him at Bowmanville once upon a time. And you can look back at clips for Chandler Smith and see why he doesn't like John Hunter Nemechek. And I might as well go into that explanation right now as my treadmill max is out and beeps in the background. I went past the limit. We will go past the limit today. We'll take it to the limit. Take it to the limit one more time and listen to the beeping in the background and try to be okay with that. So the Chandler Smith, John Hunter Nemechek story. You can watch clips on YouTube of him being mad at his teammate. Why don't they get along? Well, one, no one likes John Hunter Nemechek. But Chandler Smith has a pretty good reason to not like John Hunter Nemechek. And you got to think, well, why is it? Is it they race each other dirty? They had some bad situations. They didn't work together. Yeah, that's happened several times in the truck series. But there's a reason why Chandler Smith might resent John Hunter Nemechek. If you rewind the clock to 2019, you remember in the truck series, Chandler Smith got those part-time rides with KBM. It was really good. Really solid. And while I do this, I might as well throw the scores on the screen as I go to story time. And then in 2020, it was kind of a stagnant year. Again, he ran part-time. It was that COVID year, no practice. Kyle Busch Motorsports really was out of sorts for the most part in 2020. They definitely regrouped in 2021. And a part of that regrouping, part of that rebounding season for KBM, you would have expected after 2019 and 2020 to be Chandler Smith. Everybody's on board with that. Well, that's not what happened. From 2020 and 2019, we look ahead to 2021 in the truck series with KBM. You would assume, like, who's going to get that number one ride, that coveted number one truck that we have seen William Byron dominate in? Christopher Bell dominated in. I mean, even Kyle Busch dominated in. That seat was sitting there for Chandler Smith. Now, his performances didn't necessarily guarantee it, but there was a good excuse. 2020 was a weird year. But you would assume that he would get it. And one would assume that Chandler Smith had done everything in the ARCA series to prove, like, I'm the guy. Make me the number one driver at KBM. And it looked like that was going to be the case until John Hunter Nemechek leaves his front row 2020 truck or Cup Series ride and slides right into the number one ride at KBM. And if you are Chandler Smith and you saw the best ride in the truck series, a ride that is known to thrust people into stardom, it is within your grasp. And then this rich kid, although I mean, he's not rich, but definitely a privileged kid, probably with more so than Chandler Smith. And you could make an argument that Smith had earned it more up to that point. Walks right in, says, now I'm going to take this truck. Yeah, it's good reason to believe why Chandler Smith might be a little salty. And that carried on throughout the season in 2021 in the truck series. And here we have seen it. 2023, you know, weather was intentional, but in that Phoenix race, Nemechek raced him pretty closely. They are technically still Toyota teammates. Chandler Smith is not giving an inch to John Hunter Nemechek. It's just not going to happen. Now, if that scares you, oh God, what's going to happen in this one? Is Chandler safe? He's safe because John Hunter Nemechek is not going to be in this race for JGR. Jumping into the JGR ride this week will be Eric Almirola, and I believe it'll be Corey Heim, if I'm not mistaken. No, Corey Heim's going to take a Sam Hunt ride, so we'll look at Corey Heim in that case. But the other Gibbs ride is going to go to, sorry, I got to go. No, it's a truck driver, I thought. Who is it? Sorry, let me just, well, I won't be able to control F it on this screen. I'm sorry. My apologies as we wrap up here. I probably have already skimmed by it. Oh, it's Taylor Gray. Yeah, it's truck driver. Gray's results, Richmond, they're not that great. But we do really like Taylor Gray. We like what we have seen. We know that he has been the better Gray. We are encouraged by his development. That'll be an interesting thing to explore. But at least we don't have to deal with the John Hunter Nemechek, Chandler Smith rivalry this week. Hopefully that helps you with the Richmond recap. I'll try to get a Phoenix recap, go over some optimals, all those things. I am blessed to have you guys listening and liking and subscribing and the channel's growth. And I am very much appreciative of that. I love you guys. Trip to Life, fantastic.